will not have a genuine love toward people. A believer who has not been built up by the Lord will not have genuine love toward people. I'm not reading an excerpt from the reading material. Dear brother, he mentioned, a believer who has not been built up by the Lord will not have the genuine love toward people. A new believer loves the brothers and sisters. Although this love is of the Lord, it is a love at the beginning stage, and it cannot last because it is not the love spoken of in the Gospel of John. And now we start, we come to point C. Point C, in the Gospel of John, love is an issue of a person's abiding in the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, and being one with those who belong to the Lord. Brothers, we need to abide in the Lord, fellowship with Him, and be one with those who belong to the Lord. And point D, the love that Paul had came from his being built up in the Lord. I'll read again. The love that Paul had came from his being built up in the Lord. If a coworker, church, or saint was weak, Paul also was weak. If they were stumbled, he was also sorrowful and indignant over the cause of their stumbling. I'm now reading another excerpt. Paul was one who had been dealt with by the Lord and built up by God. I read again. Paul was one who had been dealt with by the Lord and built up by God. His love toward all the churches, the brothers and co-workers, did not come from his natural emotion, his good intention, or from having the same temperament as others. The love that Paul had came from his being built up in the Lord. Amen. Now we come to Romans 2. 2. We had to learn, rather, we had to learn to be concerned about others. In Matthew 11, the Lord says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." If we think we have learned it already, then we need to ask ourselves, are we meek and lowly in heart? Brothers, we need to learn to be concerned about others. Point A, the Lord desires that we love one another even as He loves us. Amen. One, the Lord's love toward us is not based on emotion. He does not love us because we are worthy. He does not love us because we are worthy of His love. He loves us because we need His love. Oh, what an incredible mercy and what a glorious gospel this is. He loves us because of, not because we are worthy, not because we have earned it, but simply because we are in desperate need of His love. Don't you enjoy His love? And point two is say, we need to love the brothers and sisters and care for them, but such a love should be based on their needs, not on our emotions. When they have a need, we have a need. Brothers, I was very exposed by this point. We love people. I love people, but my love is very selective. I often say that we should prioritize our time for those who are so-called having the work of the Holy Spirit. And for those who are not that open yet, I'll tell myself, it's okay. God has His timing. And let's focus on those who are open to us first. But brothers, this is not the way of our Lord. Our Lord, He loves me not because I'm worthy of His love. And we should love our saints not based on their need. Not on sorry, not based on not 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 based on our emotion. We should love them based on their need. And then when they have a need, we have a need. Point three, we should love the saints because They are our brothers and sisters. Excuse me. And because we have been dealt with by the Lord and have been built up in Him. There are two becauses here in this line. The first one, because we love because they are brothers and sisters. It tells us our love has to be unconditional. And the second one, that shows us ourselves need to be transformed. Otherwise, we cannot love the saints. And point B, when the brothers who administrate the church have been built up by the Lord, there's something in them that is concerned about others, love others, and care for them. We need to pray to the Lord there be something in us from the Lord so that we can be concerned about others, love others, and care for others. Point C. One who has been built up by the Lord must learn to be concerned about others. I don't know if you noticed in our lives mentioned again and again, we need to be built up by the Lord. Means we need to open to His shepherding first. Otherwise, we cannot be concerned for others. And I continue reading point C. If there is the genuine love, the brothers will immediately check on the condition of a sick brother who is missing. We should learn to bear others' burdens. I'm very touched by this phrase, who is missing? Do you know, brothers, do you know from your last Lord's Day meeting who was missing? Every week, many churches, they count how many saints show up in the meetings, and this is a good practice. But Brother Lee has his focus more on something else. He counted those who did not come, and then he cared for them. So when we count we take statistics, we not only focus on how many come, but we should focus on who did not come. And our Lord did the same. So he left the 99 and to find the one who was lost. And we need to know, dear brothers, who is missing, and we need to care for them. Point D, if an elder desires his administration of the church to bring in the building, he must learn to love and care for people. One, edification is for the benefit of an individual. Building up causes the saints to be built up together. God does not want to gain individual persons. He wants to gain a building. Our work must produce a corporate result in order for God's will to be carried out. Again, our work must produce a corporate result in order for God's will to be carried out. And point two, a church in which the brothers care for one another has a future. Brothers, do you want your church to have a future? Let me read this point again. A church in which the brothers care for one another has a future. I continue reading. If the serving ones do not care for one another, we should not expect our work to result in the building. We should care for one another. Now we come to Romans 3. Three, the elders need to have a proper interest in people, a proper concern in others' spiritual welfare. Let's read again. Brother, let's read together. The elders need to have a proper interest in people, a proper concern in others' spiritual welfare. A, the elders should be concerned for people rather than for business affairs. And one, let's read together. The first responsibility of the elders is to always have an interest and concern for others' spiritual welfare. The elders should pick up the habit of caring for people and seeking the help of others for the business affairs. Here, I'd like to read you another excerpt in the church from Brother Lee. In the church life, There are many practical matters that need attention. The elders cannot care for them by themselves. They must learn how to assign all these matters to others. The hands of the elders should be filled with people, and they must learn to be concerned for people. Brothers, the hand of the elders should be filled with people. So we should often ask ourselves, are our hands filled with people or with business affairs? And this morning, the brother shared with us in our prayer that the brother shared with us that even this kind of assigning or this kind of help people to take care of these business affairs is also a shepherding. It's also our shepherding to them. We are not just given an assignment, but we should shepherd them to take care of these business affairs. And so that we should focus, that's our first responsibility. We should focus on contacting people and caring for them. Amen. Two, it is better that the elders spend most of their time to contact people. Oh, I like to read it again. It is better that the elders spend most of their time to contact people. The elders should be concerned for people, have an interest in people, and be fully occupied with people. Three, an elder must budget his time to contact at least two people a day. Oh, this was our time to read it, to read it again. An elder, brothers, must build our time. We can add our put replace this an elder with our name. Brother Isaiah must budget his time to contact at least two people a day. The elders should contact all kinds of people, including unbelievers, new believers, and weak believers. I believe we all treasure our time, and I do love my time, especially after having three children. But brothers, we must budget our time to contact at least two people a day. But I can tell you, this is it's a blessing practice. The more we focus on others, the more we'll be safe from our own problems. Amen. Point B. The elders should labor in the word and learn in order to be good ministers of Christ Jesus. One, laboring in the word does not merely mean to speak the word to others. It also means that the elders have to learn the word before ministering the word. We have to know the word. Two, we must bear the burden to take care of people in spiritual matters. However, if we do not learn the spiritual things, we will not know how to care for people. Now, here does not say our speaking is just to give a good message. No, it was to minister Christ as the food to the saints. For this we have picked up in the previous lessons, and it seems that it's a preparation for us is not to give a good prophesying or give a good message, but to shepherd people. And brothers, we should know feeding them is not about fixing their problems. It's about bring them to the Lord, bring people to the Lord so the Lord can meet their need by himself. We are not here to fix others' problems, but we are here to shepherd people to the Lord. Now we have point C and point D. They can be considered together to present a proper principle and focus in contacting people. Point C tells us the elders should not have an interest in knowing others' affairs, which spreads death in the church life. I read again. The elders should not have an interest in knowing others' affairs, which spreads death in the church life. And what point D tells us is we should have an interest concerning people's condition with the Lord. Such interest minister life, minister life in the organic building up, sorry, in the organic building up of the body of Christ. So if we just know in others' affairs, that may spread days. But we are have interest concern people's spiritual condition with the Lord, then that's what minister life. So this is a big is a strong contrary here. I read point C, point one. To know others' affairs is a temptation. It's better to be a dove among the saints without any intention of seeing or hearing of others' affairs. Two, we may need to know certain things for the purpose of interceding for others, but we must try our best to know the matters accurately by going to that person and listening, brothers, listening to the person directly. Now, there's a testimony of Brother Watchman Nee that at times he would listen only to a certain point and then he would say, "That is enough. Please do not go on. I do not need to know more." Brothers, we need to learn how where to draw a line so that we can keep ourselves away from this temptation. And point B, let's see how our interest concerning people's condition with the Lord would minister life. Point one, we cannot know people's condition with the Lord except by direct contact with them. No one can know someone's real condition unless he contacts him a number of times. And point two, we must contact someone again and again until he has a trust in us and will open up the sins on his heart. Amen. Point E, the elders must be burdened with the contacting of people for the Lord's kingdom. Hallelujah. Shepherding people into the kingdom of God, that is the purpose of our contacting people. In the next section, we'll have more about the purpose of contacting people. Point one, we must pick up the burden to contact people in a particular way that concerns their spiritual life. Two, we must first learn to open up ourselves with wisdom to the ones whom we contact. This opening will cause them to open up to us. We need to learn to open up ourselves, but with wisdom, so that people will open up themselves to us. Point F, the elders must learn to pray with a particular burden for the relationship with the Lord of Lords for whom they are concerned. Here's about our prayer, and this is crucial. One, this praying should not be in the way of convenience for the elders, but rather in the way of a proper schedule. This schedule should include a time to pray for the ones whom we contact. Brothers, I think we all know prayer is crucial in contacting people. Without enough prayer, many times we will contact people only in a very superficial way. We should have a schedule to pray for people. We should have a prayer list. I think we all have the prayer list that we pray for them. Two, if the elders take the way that is shepherd, sorry, if the elders take the way that is fellowship here in the context, it means the things we have been we have covered, not only on this point. They will be very approachable to others. It will be easy for people to contact them. Amen. How blessing are the brothers, are the responsible brothers being approachable to all the saints. Three, the condition of the church depends on the eldership in that church. The proper eldership is one in which all the elders contact people daily, weekly, regularly, and consistently. That really points together. The condition of the church depends on the eldership in that church. The proper eldership is one in which all the elders contact people daily, weekly, regularly, and consistently. Brothers, I must confess, I am not able to do that. I'm longing for that, but I'm not able to do that. And then the other day, I fellowship with a brother that I thought he could do that, so I like to follow him. But he told me that he's also longing for contacting people, but he may not be he but he not he may not be able to commit. But praise the Lord, we have one another. We are not practicing it by ourselves. We have one another. Let's support one another, remind one another, so we'll contact people daily, weekly, regularly, and consistently. Four, that we together is so good point. The number of people the elders contact is the deciding factor of the condition of the church in their locality. Are you satisfied with the condition of the church in your locality? If you are not, here's the deciding factor, which is the number of the people the elders contact. Point G. We need to build up a habit of contacting people. One, we must first pick up a concern for people and go to contact them, then we will learn their condition. Two, it's very convenient, profitable, and necessary for the elders to contact people, especially the new ones, before and after the meetings. We should, we can see some appearance brothers, they always stay in the doors, meeting hall before and after the meetings so he can greet all the saints to contact people. Three, in the local church, the first thing that is needed is for the elders to contact people. Contacting people must be our priority in the church life. You were asking, we have so many things on our to-do list. What's the first? Brothers, contacting people must be our priority. That's the first. We should contact people in our church life. Four, amen. That we together. If we have the practice and a strong habit of going out to contact unbelievers for the increase according to a schedule, others will know us to be those who are always busy gaining new ones. If we are such persons, others will be helped to go out with us to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. How wonderful is the outline. Now, Brother Vincent will share the burden of this lesson with us. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you hear me, brothers?
Amen.
Amen. Good. Amen. So, as Isaiah mentioned, in this new section that we're starting today with lesson 55, the topic, the elders' contact with people, we really come to the heart of the elders' duty and responsibility. And there is a heavy burden and a heavy concern also that we would see this, but especially we would come into experiencing the experiences we need that we would become such people. We read those verses in 1 Peter 5, 2 to 4, verses written by Peter. And we many times refer to Peter as the one that we like to be, we can identify ourselves with him, mainly because we can identify ourselves with him in all his failures, in his wrongdoings, in his mistakes, all these things we easily relate to him. But when you read those verses in 1 Peter 5, 2 to 4, you realize something has happened with Peter. This is another Peter than the one that we read in the Gospels. And my feeling, my concern, is yes, it's easy to identify ourselves with Peter as the one who failed so often. But I wonder whether we can identify ourselves in the experiences Peter had in being touched and dealt with the Lord. Because the Peter that we read in First Epistle of Peter is a rebuilt Peter, is a Peter that has been dealt with by the Lord, that has been torn down. His natural person has been broken, and the Lord has rebuilt him. He was rebuilt and has made him a different person. Remember this last conversation that Peter had at the seashore of the Sea of Tiberias. It was a very intimate and personal conversation with the Lord. And the Lord asked him, excuse me, the Lord asked him these questions of all questions. And he asked him this question three times, Peter, do you love me? And he even the first time touched him and he says, do you love me more than these? That was very humbling for Peter because he was the one who always thought he would love the Lord more than anyone else. And then in his wisdom, the Lord shepherded him, but also touched him and gave him this threefold response. Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and feed my sheep. I believe the rest of his life, Peter could never forget this conversation that he had with the Lord. He must have always remembered the questions that the Lord asked him and the answer that he also gave him. I'm sure Peter was irritated by the third time, do you love me? But brothers, I feel this is where we need to learn from Peter. We need this kind of conversations with the Lord. We need this kind of fellowship, intimate, personal fellowship with the Lord, where the Lord meets us. He meets us and he asks us these questions. He asks us, do you love me more than these? Because we're the same. We all also think that we love the Lord more than anyone else. We need the Lord to meet us in this way as he met Peter and have this kind of open, personal, intimate fellowship with him. And then he was able to write these verses in 1 Peter 5, 2 to 4. I'd like to underline some of these words that are typical for Peter. He could have said, shepherd the flock of God, because that's the basic message he gave. That would be just an exhortation. Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God. But then he adds so many details of how to shepherd. Where did he get all these details? I believe he got all these details from his failing experiences. First, he says, among the flock of God, among you, realizing that he was just one among them. He was not the best. He was not the chief. He was not the first, the one that he always wanted to be. No, he was just one among them. And then he says, overseeing not under compulsion, but willingly. How could he write this? This is not just a teaching. This is probably someone who experienced what it means to oversee with compulsion, meaning out of duty, out of necessity, but not willingly. Then he says, according to God. Wow, how could he write this? Shepherd according to God. According to God's nature, God's way, desire, because probably he experienced many times that he shepherded others, not according to God, but according to his own preferences, his own ways. Then he continues, not seeking gain through base means, but eagerly. His motives were touched. What was he seeking? What are we seeking? And we realize in ourselves, in a natural fallen person, whatever he does it for his own glory, for his own gain. And then not as lording it over you allotments, but by becoming patterns of the flock. Wow. Peter, the one who thought he was always first, who was better than the others, through all the failures, through all the mistakes he did, he became a pattern of the flock. And I'm really touched, you know, especially this matter where he denied the Lord three times. He could have excused himself. He said, "Well, it was late at night. I was hungry. I was scared." But I was touched that after he denied the Lord three times, in this it says, "And he went and he wept bitterly." That is a person who was touched by the Lord. So I wonder how much have we wept bitterly from the things that we're going through. We're all going through things. We all have our circumstances arranged by the Lord. And we're all Peter's failing, but I'm concerned that we would go through things not weeping bitterly, but excusing ourselves, but explaining ourselves, still keeping ourselves closed, whole, untouched, unwilling to be brought to nothing. So this is Peter. This is the Peter who really became a pattern. And brothers, I feel this is the intrinsic burden of this message. Yes, we need to learn to contact people, to have an interest, and there is things to learn. But intrinsically, we need the experiences of Peter being touched by the Lord, broken by the Lord, torn down by the Lord, so that the Lord could rebuild us, make us a different person. And brothers, if this doesn't happen with us, all the exhortation of trying to take care of people, trying to contact people, will be in vain. Either we will give up, which probably we have done, or we do it according to our ways, which will be damaging people. So we need to ask the Lord, "Lord, don't let me go. Don't let me go through all these experiences, the circumstances, the dealings, without being touched by you, not without being rebuilt by you." May the Lord really meet us as he met Peter at the seashore of Tiberias. And then we can enter into this great commission. Then we can enter into this ministry of shepherding as the Lord commissioned Peter to do. This is really what God needs today. God's greatest need today is to raise up shepherds. And we see this in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 34, and Brother Minoru encouraged us to read this chapter, Ezekiel 34. The first part, the Lord rebukes the shepherds in Israel of failing, of abandoning the flock, not caring for them, caring for themselves, feeding themselves. And this flock is being scattered, abandoned, is wounded without a shepherd. But in the second part, there is a prophecy that he himself will come. He, Jehovah, will come to be himself this great shepherd, which happened. The Lord Jesus came and he was truly the good shepherd. And his whole living on the earth, 3.5 years, was a living of shepherding, teaching and shepherding. All the acts he did, the miracles, the healings, the resurrecting of people, the giving sight to people. This was the shepherd that had come. This was Jehovah who had come to be the shepherd of his own flock. And then he died. He resurrected. Amen. He ascended. But praise the Lord, today his shepherding ministry continues. And he's still shepherding us. If it was not for shepherding, brothers, would any one of us be here? No, it is through his shepherding today, as the great shepherd, as the chief shepherd, as the overseer of our soul, We are still here in the church life today. But, brothers, he needs others that enter into his ministry of shepherding. This is what God needs today. And this is the responsibility of an elder. If we do anything in the church life, this is what we have to do. But we all realize, as Isaiah said, we are not born this way. There is not one bone in us that cares for others. Fallen man, at its best, cares for itself. So we need salvation. We need God's loving heart. We need God's concern, God's desire, God's interest to be infused into us. We need his heart to be duplicated in us so that we can become the same as he is, having this kind of loving concern, love for one another. Talking about we are becoming the same as he is. God becoming a man, man becoming God. I think in this matter, it becomes so clear. This has to happen. It has to happen that we are becoming God in life and nature. We are becoming the same as he is, God as a shepherd. Amen. So may the Lord visit us. May we really have this kind of conversation with the Lord, as Peter had at the Sea of Tiberias, where he asked us personally, and we would open to him, answering him. We would be exposed where we are, and that we could be ushered into this shepherding ministry of the Lord. I'd like to emphasize a few points for the remainder of the time on the outline, on which really the burden is on Roman numeral 1 and also Roman numeral 2. In Roman numeral 1, it says, harmony in love is the characteristic of those who are built up by God. Very interesting that this outline starts with this point. You may think, what does this have to do with elders' contact with people? Well, it has everything to do with it. Harmony in love is the characteristic of those who are built up by God. Is this our situation? Is this our condition? A says, when people touch harmony in love, that means, what are they touching? They're touching us. Are we brothers where we are in our locality? Can we say that when the saints touch us, they touch harmony in love? Well, if not, then whatever we do will be what it will be, but it will not result in shepherding the saints and bringing them into the building. When people touch harmony in love, they can sense that these people are followers of Christ. The characteristic of loving one another, the harmony in love, causes people not only to know that we are the Lord's followers, but also to believe that the Lord is the Christ. In John 13, 34 and 35, especially 35, it does not just mention that we need to love one another. It says, if we have love for one another. Brothers, do we have love for the brothers in our locality? Do we have genuine love, God's love for the brothers that we are coordinating with? We might be busy, we might be doing this and that, even we might try to contact people. But first, there needs to be this characteristic, harmony in love. And we cannot escape, we cannot take shortcuts. We need to be built up in God. We need to be built up, rebuild, as Brother Minoru shared, rebuild so that this would be our characteristic. Then B says, a believer who has not been built up by the Lord will not have genuine love toward people. This is us. Build not build up by the Lord, not have genuine love for people. Lord Jesus. Then see, in the Gospel of John, love is an issue of a person's abiding in the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, and being one with those who belong to the Lord. This is Peter. This is Peter's experience at the Lake of Tiberias, abiding in the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord. Brothers, this is what we need. We need this kind of personal, intimate contact with the Lord. And out of this, something can grow in us, a concern for others. Then in Rome, under Roman rule 2, point B, when the brothers who administrate the church have been built up by the Lord, listen, there is something in them that is concerned about others, loves others, and cares for them. Again, if the brothers are built up by the Lord, spontaneously, there is something in them. So may we give ourselves to be built up together in the Lord. And another point, this is Roman numeral 3, point 1. It says the first responsibility of the elders is to always have an interest and concern for others' spiritual welfare. The elders should pick up the habit of caring for people and seeking the people of others and seeking the help of others for their business affairs. I feel in my experience, I complain and say, well, there's no one else who can do the business affairs. Oh, I'm so busy. I have to do this, I have to do that. Well, of course, there is no one else, because that's all what we do. If our priority is taking care of business affairs, arranging things, organizing things, then our hands will not be filled with people. And there is no one that we can shepherd to be brought into the service of managing things. So we need to have the change of not caring for so much for business affairs. And also feel many times we do this because we realize we can do these things without having to be touched by the Lord. Taking care of affairs, organizing things, it's rather easy. But we all know that to take care of people, to have a concern for people, to shepherd people, to contact people, to know people. Oh, this is complicated. This wears us out. This really brings us to an end. And this is what we need. So may the Lord save us from hiding behind being so busy with so many things, rescuing us from this kind of service. Brothers, our service needs to count. And the only service that counts is how many people we can shepherd, how many people we can really bring on, have this concern for their spiritual welfare. Amen. Finally, no, this was the last point. You may have wondered why we chose hymn 837 for this lesson. Well, as we fellowship with Isaiah, first, we really didn't find one that was explicitly speaking about this matter of contacting people, knowing to take care of people. But as we considered this hymn 837, we both testified a sweet flow in us. Because this is the intrinsic burden, especially this verse 5, 6, and 7. 6, I read it. Here, Lord, we give ourselves to thee. Receive us into thy wise hands. Bend, break, and build together in thee to be the house to meet thy demands. Amen. Verse 7, break all the natural life for us. Deal thou with each peculiar way, that we no more independent be, but with all saints are one for a. So the burden is we would allow the Lord to deal with us, to yes, grant us the experiences that Peter had, but as Peter, we would also be those who would learn the lessons to be dealt with, to be touched with, to be transformed, to be made a living stone, and to be brought, and to be made patterns of the flock, so we could really shepherd the saints according to God. Amen. Amen. I think I will stop here and I will give back to the brothers. Amen.
Amen, brothers. Thank you for the speaking. Now we have roughly 15 minutes or so for prophesying. So we encourage you to turn on your video if you can and share what you enjoy from this speaking. Maybe I should start. I really appreciate the speaking this morning, that this is really what is on the Lord's heart for His church. And this is actually is a key to the blessing to a locality. I was touched that the more we can contact the saints, the more you will see the Lord can gain the increase, gain the building up of the body. However, we all realize that we really are not the right person. We really need the Lord's mercy to transform us, to change us. Like Brother Wilson said, we don't even have a bone of caring for others. That is so true. And not only that, I think we really need to come to the Lord to ask Him to shine us, bring the speaking back to the Lord, and burden us for the saints in where we are. If we will do that, the Lord really will have a way to bless the locality. And we're not doing it individually, right? We are together, corporately, with the brothers. If the Lord enlarge us to love the brothers that we're coordinating with, and this will actually influence the whole church by loving everyone in the church life. So, brothers, how about we take maybe everyone can have a minute or minute and a half, and yeah, it looks like there might be a little
Brother John,
issue.
Brother yeah. John, we can't turn our videos on. It says you cannot start your video because the host has stopped it.
Okay. Well, maybe you can raise your hand if you want to speak, then the hosting brother can let you speak and mute or enable your video.
Can you please try again? I think now we can all turn on our video now.
Yeah. Okay. Our brother Joe.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brothers, I'm really touched by this speaking. I enjoyed both you brothers speaking, Isaiah doing the outline, and you know it's really, you know I'm just, you know we looked and we have at least maybe 100 saints on a list that are here in Bad Wildungen, yet only we have about 45 or 50 that show up. And, you know, we keep saying we need to visit the saints, but Lord Jesus. So I just appreciate this. And one thing that touched me was, Vincent, when you were reading the verses on chapter 5, and then I looked at verse 4, it says, when the chief shepherd is manifested. You know, Brother Paul, he had been dealt with, and the Lord was being manifested in here. And yet it says, when the chief shepherd is manifested, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. But you know, the Lord was being manifested in him, and he cared, and also Peter, the not the old Peter, but the new Peter after he was touched. Yes. Oh, sorry. Did you want to go? One thing I just I think we need to like pray for one another. Pray for one another, love one another, and have this love for all the saints, even the uncomely saints, not just the saints that are receiving it, but the saints that need the help. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I took that.
Brothers, maybe we can share.
Yes.
Brothers, I just enjoy this one point. The number of people the elders contact is the deciding factor of the condition of the church and their locality. Wow. It's the same as what Brother Joel just shared. We think, oh, it's some other worse reasons, but really the number of people the elders contact is the deciding factor. And I was just really impressed by Brother Vincent sharing that how much of that really depends on us actually being dealt with by the Lord. We can read all these points, but really it's the fact that our background, our upbringing, our education, our habits are still the same. Just like Peter, having been weeping before the Lord and even weeping bitterly, we need to have that experience too.
Amen.
It's possible to just stay with, oh, I'm so bad, but thank the Lord for Peter because I can feel identified with him. But we may not actually experience being brought on just like Peter, and we really need that for to be brought into the Great Commission. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Michael.
Brothers, aren't you glad that the Lord didn't say, "I will build my church on somebody so sublime and fine like the Apostle John, or somebody with such a sharp, sober intellect like Paul," but he said, "I will build my church on someone I can build myself into like Peter." I mean, isn't this so comforting to us? On somebody so impulsive, so rough in a way, but so sincere. I can so much relate to Peter. I can relate to nights I wept through feeling, "Lord, I'm just so impossible. I don't know even how you can bother with someone like me." And later seeing somehow, mysteriously, there's a love for people emerging in my heart that I didn't have before. There's a grace in listening, which I didn't have. And it makes all sense. It comes from this night swept through, from this brokenness, from these dealings, from this, "Lord, I'm just so unfit. I'm so impossible and impulsive." And but the Lord is not afraid of changing, transforming impulsive people. He needs a heart for him. And even this is grace. I think no one of us is hopeless in this regard. This is so encouraging to each one of us. We can relate to Peter, and as he transformed Peter and built his church with himself in Peter, he can transform us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Back to us. Go ahead.
I can go ahead, brothers. Amen. I just appreciate the title of this message, the elders' interest in others' spiritual welfare. And it focuses me in particular on my over-concern for my own spiritual welfare. And as the burden came out, there is a realization others' spiritual welfare is actually caring for others' spiritual welfare takes care of my own spiritual welfare.
Amen.
And this matter that was spoken about of genuine love, and in the context of this very practical matter of taking attendance in the church and knowing who's there and who's not there. And as I was listening, my immediate response was, oh, okay, now I need to start taking care. Now I need to start noting who's missing instead of noting who's there, right? Some kind of shift in my mind. But that's not the point. The point isn't where on the spreadsheet of attendance are you looking.
Yeah.
The point is there a genuine love for this one?
Yeah.
They're not in the meeting.
Yeah.
My heart is wondering, where are they?
Yeah.
Which then compels to say, oh, the meeting's over, I need to go find that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the illustration of the Lord leaving the 99 to seek the one.
Amen.
That is the life that's being reproduced in us.
Amen. Brothers, I can share. I was just appreciating, to follow Paul, I was appreciating Peter's transformation from this person who only cared about himself and about being the first and about being the best and everyone knowing this about him, to a person who was just one of the flock.
Amen.
He was there among the believers, just like them, a sheep shepherding other sheep. And he had this experience of being touched by the Lord in this conversation where the Lord just touched his inner being. And with this touch, this conversation he had with the Lord, this caused him to have a change in his living and to begin to definitely to know the Lord in a deeper way as the shepherd, but also to become a person who could care for others and shepherd the flock of God. I mean, the difference between what we see in the Gospels related to Peter and what we see in his writing in 1st and 2nd Peter is really great. And it's a big encouragement to realize that this kind of dealing with the Lord just happened in a personal conversation. The Lord met Peter where he was and just touched him right where he was. And this caused Peter to have a turn and a change so that he could become a person who could shepherd others according to God.
Amen. Amen.
We still have another 8 or 9 minutes. Plenty of opportunities for the brothers to share. Please feel free to turn on your video if you have not, and or raise your hand. Hey, Budapest.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers. I was impressed by numeral 3, number 3. An elder must budget his time to contact at least 2 people a day. The elders should contact all kinds of people, including unbelievers, new believers, and weak believers. And in the hymn that we sang, 837, there was a line that I was really impressed with. It says, bend, break, and build together in thee. And I was also impressed by Brother Vincent speaking about Peter. Peter is one whom we like to compare ourselves with because of his many failures. But Peter was also one who allowed the Lord to build himself into him. Without this building in us, with the Lord's person, it is impossible to contact people, shepherd people, love people, and also love one another. So may the Lord bring us on with him to a place where we weep bitterly, recognizing our lack, our shortages, and our weakness, so that he can have his building in us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brothers, took up brothers.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I was very touched, brothers, when the brothers were sharing about the Lord rebuking the shepherds in the Old Testament. And then he says, I will come. I was very touched. The Lord came. The good shepherd came to shepherd his sheep. But it impressed me when he said the Lord is still shepherding his sheep. This good shepherd was on earth, shepherding his people, obviously according to God. He's the Lord himself. And now in resurrection, in ascension, he's in us. So what our responsibility to shepherd according to God? I'm the first one who is very busy doing many things and kind of knowing that I should be taking more care of people. Also being aware that I lack more love, the genuine love of the Lord. But this lesson really helped me. What am I doing about it? Right? When Brother Vincent was sharing, we see a different Peter after all these transactions with the Lord. And even when he was describing all these things in this verse, these were experiences Peter had, but he was a person abiding with the Lord, bringing all these things to the Lord, conversing with the Lord, all these failures, letting the Lord infuse his heart into Peter. So I was just, I'm just very encouraged to seek the Lord more, seek his heart, pray before the Lord, even regarding my shepherding of others, how I spend my time. And just let the Lord shepherd me, expose what needs to be exposed, so that he can reproduce his heart in us and he can have the shepherds he needs among the saints to really be one with him and take care of the saints and their spiritual condition for we all to grow in the Lord together. Amen.
Amen. Demida in Bern.
Amen. I really enjoyed Roman 1c. It says, in the Gospel of John, love is an issue of a person's abiding in the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, and being one with those who belong to the Lord. I really enjoyed to hear quite a few things about Peter. And what really impressed me was, you know, the situation at the seashore after Peter had failed to such a great degree. And after he had wept bitterly, the Lord came to him. And Peter, he was very disappointed, but he was very open. Amen. And the Lord was able to touch him. And you know, in the time after, before he wrote his letter, and this chapter 5, verses 2 to 4, the Lord had been able to really rebuild himself into Peter.
Amen.
So I kind of have a new picture, a new impression of Peter after the Lord's resurrection. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord had a way to deal with so many things in this precious brother.
Amen.
So that he became mm-hmm. able to shepherd among the people of God, among the flock, according to God. And how was that possible? Peter was one who learned to abide in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
to fellowship, mm-hmm. to stay in this fellowship, to hold back nothing, not to excuse himself, but says, Lord, yes, it's true. You have to touch it. I love you. Mm-hmm. I open to you. And yes, I'm open to your commission.
Mm-hmm.
So may the Lord gain us. Mm-hmm. May the Lord make us, you know, the same as Peter was in writing his epistle.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Okay, Church in Benin.
Yeah, I was also touched by this fact, brothers, the Lord going to Peter. as the brothers have shared, this Peter is a different Peter than the one we know in the gospel. This Peter is a broken, but built up by the Lord. Such a Peter is here. But what has touched my heart the most is the Lord's going to Peter. If the Lord would not go and shepherd Peter, how can Peter shepherd others? That means how much we need the Lord shepherding us, brothers, so that we can shepherd. If in the outline we have read, we need to budget our times. We are mostly busy. Okay, let us consider. I may have even enough time, and then I have even the heart to go to shepherd others. But with what would I shepherd them? Unless the Lord has imparted his shepherding life into me through his shepherding me and through the personal and intimate fellowship with him, what would I take to the brothers or to the saints? I don't have anything. I have nothing. So how much we need, and as the brothers have brought out as well, shepherding with our prayer is nothing, or prayer in our shepherding life is crucial. So how much we need to take time before the Lord, with the Lord, and be open to the Lord to impart his shepherding life into us so that we can shepherd others by the life of God himself, which has been imparted into us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for speaking, brothers. And we will take a break now until 10:35. 10:35.
Amen, brothers. We start the session two, but we start with some prayers. Amen, brothers. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for the second session.
Amen.
For speaking the first session, we pray you continue to speak to us.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus.
Yes, continue to speak to us.
Amen.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Continue to speak to us.
Amen.
Amen.
For shepherding us.
Amen.
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 Open to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Give ourselves to you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Really continue to shepherd us.
Amen.
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 For your speaking.
Amen.
Amen.
Open our eyes.
Amen.
Open our ears.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, Lord, we open to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you're the chief shepherd.
Amen.
You feed this one in us.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Him. Angus 9:22. 300 I und 90 auf Deutsch. 300 eins und 90 auf Deutsch. Bitte.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. How about we take a minute to enjoy this hymn? Amen. You can mirror yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, to the lost world, minister Christ.
Amen.
Not just by word, but by life.
Right.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Ja, dem, den du liebst,
ja.
Teil Christus
Amen.
aus.
Amen.
Amen.
So wird der Herr sein Gewinn.
Amen.
Amen.
By daily walk making him known.
Amen.
Lord in Christ, by whom you live.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Imparting. Share with all men what you own.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, in pride in Christ to all you meet.
Yes.
Amen.
Great and small.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ, by whom you live.
Amen.
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 What you own.
Amen.
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 Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. But we get into the scripture reading. Amen. Matthew 28:19, John 21:15. Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 21:15. Then when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. But we were gentle in your midst, as a nursing mother would cherish her own children. Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:3-5. But he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to man. He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but he who prophesies builds up the church. I desire that you all speak in tongues, but especially that you would prophesy. And greater is he who prophesies than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive building up. 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. 12:2, Romans 12:2. And do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. Ephesians 6:4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Galatians 6:1. Brothers, even if a man is overtaken in some offense, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Ephesians 3:8, to me, less than the least of all things, was the grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Colossians 1:28, whom we announce, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man full grown in Christ. John 4:15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not thirst, nor some or come here to draw. Okay, Brother Billy, message 56, yes.
Can you brothers hear me? Can you brothers hear
me? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Lesson 56, brothers. The purpose of the elders' contact with people. I really enjoy the way this section started with the last one concerning the elders' burden for the saints' spiritual welfare. And there's already much spoken in that word regarding the contact with people. And I feel this word is the one word as that word. Let's just get into the outline. Roman numeral one says the elders need to see the purpose of their contact with people. So we're not just talking about contacting with people as if if someone who likes people and loves being with people, then it's already good. But we need to have an uplifted view of what it means to contact people. So to see the purpose is really important. And regarding in the last message we talked about to contact people requires transformation, and we will cover transformation in this word as well. But in Romans 12 and in the verse that we just read, transformation and knowing the will of God go together. Right. Okay. So A says the purpose of the elders' contact with people is to gain people for the increase of the kingdom of God. It is to spread the gospel to get sinners saved so that they may be regenerated for the increase of the kingdom of God. So this must be the first step, to contact people in order to gain people through the speaking of the gospel. But I will say also that unfortunately for many of us, this is how far we go in our contact with people. But through the speaking of the ministry, we need to have an up-to-date view. And so B says the purpose of the elders' contact with people is the feeding and raising up of the new members of the body of Christ. This is why we need to go visit people. The ones that have received the gospel, have opened to us, we need to now go visit them, right, in this kind of contact in order to feed them and raise them up. And C, the purpose of the elders' contact with people is the perfecting of the saints. To perfect the saints is to train and equip them. It is to perfect them to grow in life and develop their spiritual talents so that they may be functioning members of the body of Christ. And to this point, Brother Isaiah has also mentioned our desperate need in the churches to perfect the saints, and especially perfect the brothers in all kinds of ways, whether it's practical service or serving in spiritual capacity. We may not consider this as contacting the brothers, or maybe we have a low view. We just say, oh, we need to meet with them to let them know what is right, and when they're wrong, we got to adjust them and make sure they do it right so that things will be done in a proper way. But actually, we need to see the view of perfecting. That also has to come out of a proper burden for the saints' spiritual welfare. If we say we have a burden for the saints' spiritual welfare, but we don't actually have a burden to perfect them, our view of their spiritual welfare cannot come up to the standard. Right. Let me read the last one, D, and I'll share something else. The purpose of the elders' contact with people is for the building up of the organic body of Christ through prophesying. It is to help the saints learn how to speak for the Lord, to prophesy for the building up of the organic body of Christ. This is what Paul means when he says, present every man full grown in Christ. Right. When we say present every man, we say present every man who had just received the gospel. Present every man who had just got baptized. Or present every man who comes to the meeting every week for the last 5 years. Saints, that's not the uplifted view today. The uplifted view today, the purpose of contacting the people is to beget, to nourish, to perfect, and to build up. Our contact with people needs to reach the level of building up of the body of Christ. I was reminded of this one excerpt, and this comes out of, somehow I'm missing that right now. Okay, here. This comes out of Shepherding the Church and Perfecting the Young People, chapter 3, and this is toward the end of that chapter. Burley spoke this in a way that really has affected me for the last 7 years. I read this for the last time, for the first time 7 years ago. It says, in the work and in the church, we are not measured by whether or not we are capable. We are measured by how many useful ones we are able to produce. The standard of success does not depend on our ability to do a certain thing. The standard is determined by how many useful ones we can produce. So maybe, in 10 years and 20 years, we can say, Lord, how many ones that, I have shepherded that are still here? How many of us say this to the Lord? They are still here. Praise the Lord. Well, there's a big question. How are they here? Are they here like they're in the back row? Or have they been perfected and are functioning to build up the body of Christ? And so this needs to be our purpose for contacting the saints or contacting people, right? And so as the outline point in the previous lesson mentioned, this is all kinds of people. The worldly people for the gospel, for the newly saved ones, and for all the even the weak saints, right? Okay, Roman numeral 2, the elders need to see how they should contact people in order to fulfill their heavenly purpose. Now, okay, so we say we see some regarding the purpose. So now we need to see how, right? A says we need transformation for our contact with people. And so this is why I just say a big amen to everything Brother Vincent said in the last word. We need transformation. One says if we see what the purpose of our contact with people is, we will realize that we are short in our contact with others. To contact, let me see again. My view is blocked. To contact people in a proper way is not in our thought, habit, or consideration. Therefore, we must be transformed. And brothers, I was quite enlightened by this little phrase in our reading excerpts. I hope brothers can be benefited much by reading the excerpts. It says here, our being, and this is talking about transformation. To be transformed is to be reconstituted. Our being is our human constitution, which comes from our birth, our education, our practices, and our habit. We need to be transformed, that is, to be reconstituted. So, we can say, I'm not born to be a people person. Well, that is our natural constitution. Or you say, that's not my education. My education was computer science, and I know how to deal with computers. I don't know how to deal with people. Just put me on a service with computers, please. Or practices. I've never done that before. Or that's our habit. That I just never been my habit. That's not, That is our human constitution, and that is why we need to be transformed. To be reconstituted with the being of the Lord. So this is two. To be transformed is to be reconstituted. Therefore, We must present ourselves to the Lord for his reconstituting work. We must be reconstituted in order to contact people in a proper way. Amen. Okay, let's go on to B. We should not contact people through rebuke or condemnation with any kind of negative spirit, attitude, and tone. Wow. If you're talking about spirit, attitude, and tone, then you realize, oh Lord, I need transformation, because there's nothing that expresses my being more than the spirit, the attitude, and the tone. Well, okay. One, to be a good elder, the first thing we must learn is to not rebuke people. In fact, I'm reminded of this I think it was Brother Lee. I'm not sure if it's Brother Lee. But it says, messages move the heart, testimonies move the feet, demands move nothing, rebukes move backward. And so when we contact people, if we're the kind that are predisposed to rebuke, we may be building up 12 inches with our words and tearing down 14 with our actions. And that is brotherly. Two, we must avoid any negative spirit, attitude, and tone toward others. Even our listening to people without responding to them properly may offend them. Three, we must be happy persons with a joyful spirit, always humble, mild, and easy to contact. I can tell you, when I was younger, I tell the Lord, this was not me. You know, when I was in the full-time training, every other brother that saw me would do this with me, because this is exactly what I did all the time. I would look like this all the time. But we need transformation. We must be happy persons with a joyful spirit, always humble, mild, and easy to contact. Four says, we must realize what people need is the Lord, and we must be happy with them and try to give them an injection of Christ to dispense Christ into them. Amen. Five says, we must be full of discernment. However, we should discern without criticizing, despising, and judging. This is impossible to the human constitution. Either you have no discernment, that are just completely blind, or you're full of criticizing, despising, and judging. But if we can be transformed by the Lord, to be broken down and remade by the Lord, we would be full of discernment, but at the same time, no criticizing, despising, and judging. Amen. C says, we need to minister life to others outside the realm of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, and when I was young, I thought this was just so simple. You just do that. I thought that when I was in my teens and in my 20s. And then I got married. And then I had kids. And then I got offended many times by the brothers. And I realize, actually, I don't know anything about ministering life. And I'm mainly just full of knowledge of good and evil. One says, we should not measure others according to right and wrong, nor should we merely help them to distinguish between good and evil. Rather, we should minister life to them in order to save them out of the realm of the knowledge of good and evil. Two says, the best way to contact people is to sense their spirit, to discern what they say in the realm of life. To do this, we must remain in our spirit in the kingdom of life. And to do this is not the outline, we must experience the breaking of the outer man and the release of the spirit. Like in our own being, we need to be delivered from the knowledge of good and evil. Three says, if we are in our spirit, full of life, we will be full of discernment, but we will have no criticizing, despising, or judgment. We will simply minister life to those whom we contact. Wow. Brothers, I want to be this. I want to be in my spirit, full of life and full of discernment, and no criticizing, despising, or judging. Not because I want to be, someone very attractive, but I want to minister life to everyone I contact. Right? This needs to be our view. D says we need to be full of love, concern, sympathy, in a meek and humble spirit, with the full realization that what people need is the Lord, and we can solve the problem. What we can solve the problem is to meet with the Lord. Okay, I'm a little confused by the wording there. But what can solve their problem? Oh yeah, what can solve their problem is to meet with the Lord. That's right. Let me just keep reading. One says, the saints cannot be helped by us unless we have a real love, concern, and sympathy for them in the Lord. Only a reconstituted person could be like this. Two says, we are full of Christ. We will be reconstituted persons, full of love and concern, sympathizing with the persons whom we contact because they are short of Christ, and having a real concern to minister Christ to them. This could even be the case when we contact brothers that have wronged us, that have failed or have done evil things. If we are reconstituted, then our love will not be short. Our concern will not be short. Our sympathy, right? Let me say, well, brother, you have crossed that line. I was sympathizing with you until you did that, and I have no sympathy for you anymore. Sometimes I have heard this, and sometimes I may have said this, and I need to really deal with the Lord about this. They are short of Christ, and the fact that we don't have enough love and concern and sympathy is also an indication that we are short of Christ, right? Because if we are rich with Christ, then we would have the concern and the riches to minister Christ to them. Three says, no matter who comes to us, we should wait for a chance to minister Christ to them. Just recently, some of the brothers were watching this the teachers training together, and in the first lesson, Brother Lee was talking about teaching is like serving food in a restaurant. But then he said this. He said it's like the waiter. He has a lot of great food to serve people. But if the waiter utterly offends the guests, they don't want to eat his food. And this it could be us. We have all this great dishes of Christ to serve people, but we have offended the people that we want to serve this dish to them. Then there's no way for us to give them that food, right? So we should wait and actually seek for a chance to minister Christ to everyone in this kind of a spirit. So he says we should contact people not to convince, catch, or arrest them, but to recover and bring them back to the Lord. Right? So sometimes, when we contact others, what we really want to do is to convince them that they're wrong, or to catch them. I want to craft the way that I say things. I want to lead them down a path of questioning, just like an attorney, so that I can catch them, right? But that is not the right way to contact people. One says we catch and arrest people by convincing that they are wrong. But we recover people by bringing them back to the Lord. That means that, so how do you help the wrong ones? Brother Lee in the excerpt, he says, they may be spending time with you and experience the shining of the Lord, and they go home and confess their sins to the Lord. Wow. We need to touch that kind of reality, right? Two says the best way to get others out of the snare of the realm of good and evil is not to touch good and evil, but to minister Christ as life to them through the cross. Amen. Okay, F says we should shepherd the saints by contacting them repeatedly. Oh Lord, let's say these three words together. Contacting them repeatedly. Amen. This is very much in line with what was already shared in the first part. One says we must have the experience of Christ as life so that we will know how to help others. And two says we should contact others several times and not be hasty in helping them. Sometimes we contact certain ones and we say, well, I've already had three appointments with them and nothing happened. Right? Well, they didn't come to the meetings after that, so forget them. Or we say, this brother had this problem, and I talked to him once, I talked to him twice, and he didn't listen. So, it's his loss, right? I've already told him. How good is this word? It deals with our need to have results in a hurry. Three says eventually we will be able to minister Christ to them, help them to contact with the Lord, pray with them, and bring them to the Lord in prayer. Four says for persons to be gained by the Lord, we have to go to them possibly for 1 or 2 years. Here, he said it right here. Possibly for 1 or 2 years. Jesus, we should not carry out a social work, but should minister Christ as life to people. I'm sorry, before I go on, I do have to say to contact people repeatedly is something that we really all need to be really before the Lord about. When the brothers read through the outlines of lesson 55, I just realized that what the Lord touched me with in this point is really the burden. We all can easily say, oh, we need to contact people, or we can say we can have a burden for people. But based on Brother Lee's fellowship, the question is, how practical is our contact with people? In his word about two persons a day. Wow. When you say, Lord, I need to work. I do need to work. I have a job, right? And I'm also going to the prayer meeting and the whatever home meeting and students meeting and Saturday meeting and Sunday meeting and young people's meeting and whatever, right? But are we just going to meetings or are we contacting people? It's very convicting. And sometimes we have a lot of concept like what constitutes a quality contact, but this is a point that really it's worthy of our study. I just appreciate even some of the testimonies I heard from Taiwan where a brother was sharing about being serving in a place where everybody is working high power jobs and have very, very little time even for their family or the church life, and they don't even have time to get together and read something in the ministry. And so the brothers got creative and they said, why don't we all just try to, get in groups, or we just read things on our own and then text what we enjoy to our companions. And then they started practicing, and it worked. What I appreciate isn't the method, or that we should all pick up that method. I appreciate that these brothers were studying it. And we need to study. We need to study how we can contact people. So if we can't meet up, can we telephone? Can we do a WhatsApp call? Can we to actually practice our brother's fellowship? Right. Okay. So let's go on. We should not carry out a social work, but should minister Christ as life to people. One says we must consider whether a case will waste our time. If the Lord has entrusted us with many people, we should stay out of complicated involvement. And so this is helping us regarding maybe sometimes we do have a good heart, but our heart is comes out of our human constitution. And we really want to help solve people's problems, but at the end, there may not be much ministry of Christ. And maybe not because we are not burdened to give them Christ, but maybe the people only want help with their problems. Two says we must realize that the best and only effective way to gain people for the Lord's purpose is to minister Christ to them. And Brother Lee, during the in the beginning days in Taiwan, he shared that word that here you only get white rice. We all touch the essence of his word, but what was new to me after moving to Germany is that the context is that there were a lot of refugees from China. Taiwan was full of refugees from China at the time. And so they were, logically full of, on the streets, were full of people who needed help. And then they came to the meetings, and that's why Berlise shared this word with them. And, during the Syrian refugee crisis, we had to be very exercised before the Lord over and over again regarding this. Whether a certain case is just wasting our time or that we are able to minister Christ. H says we must avoid a superiority complex, arguments, offense, or any form of humiliation. We should not care for our status or feel that we are better than the one with whom we speak. Personally, the Lord has made it clear to me that I need to be transformed regarding this. 15 years ago, I didn't like to argue with people, but I frequently argued with the Christians that came to our meetings. One time I even said, I was asking the saints in my core coordination, says, maybe I argued a little too much, right? And then it was Brother Ken Mooney. I don't know if Brother Ken Mooney is in the audience today. He says, yes, you did. It requires transformation, right? We need to be reconstituted. Sometimes our being is just, it likes to argue. We think that we're better. We have the better stuff. We think that we're better than all the other Christians. Or I think that my Americanness is better than you. Right. We need to go to the Lord and come down from our status. Amen. I says, we must always remember well that the church is not a police station or law court, and that we are not policemen or judges. Amen. One says, when we go to a person, we should not talk about what he has done. Rather, we should take the opportunity to minister life and light into them. Wow. Life and light will enlighten the ones that we contact, and they will go and repent to the Lord. Anyway, there's much to speak there, but I want to give Brother Reggie time. Two says, then he may be enlightened by the Lord and go home to repent to the Lord. Oh yeah, the point already says, I'm sorry, but three says, love blinds people. When our eyes gain their sight, our love diminishes. Only the blind elders are real helpers. Amen. So in this way, let us be the blind elders so that we can be the real helpers. Amen. Jay says, we must minister Christ to meet the need of all kinds of people. And here I underline, brothers, all kinds of people. And because before that, we just talked about not wasting our time. Unfortunately, we can apply them in all the wrong ways. We just apply them to the people we don't like, or we just apply them to the people we don't approve. Here, one says we should minister Christ to everyone, the stronger ones and the weaker ones, the overcoming ones and the defeated ones, those with a good background and those with a bad background. We must be the same toward every person. And I don't know what our view on this is, brothers, but when I read the excerpts, it's a little shocking to me, the example brotherly use. What he used was Timothy versus Demas. Like we would always want to take care of Timothy, but we don't want he forsook Paul. Come on. Right? You say, oh yeah, we don't waste our time with people like that. No, but actually, that was the example that Burley used. We should be the same toward every person. And to seek a way, and this is two now, we need to seek a way to help people to open to us. Three says we must find the proper utterance to touch people's spirit. Four says we must catch the proper time to dispense Christ, either with a quotation from the Bible or a word of our inspiration. So that means, well, it's not necessarily that this brother is the wrong one. It may just be that it's the wrong time. And we need to look for the right time. And the footnote in 2 Corinthians 6:1 has always impressed me. And the one thing that has impressed me over and over again is this phrase in the all-fitting life that says, able to take every opportunity. And I have to confess, brothers, in our service, in my service, I have missed a lot of opportunities because of my opinion of saints. You know, and then when the opportunity came, I lost it because I still put this brother or this sister in that box. Right? But here it says we must catch the proper time to dispense Christ, to take that opportunity, right? Anyway, five says we must stir up people's hunger and thirst to seek the Lord by praying with them. Six says we should not expect that our ministering Christ to others will cause them to have a rapid change. We should care only to minister Christ and should not care for quick results. Eventually, people will be gained by the Lord through our contact with them. Brothers, how good is this outline? I just get so much help just by reading it. Amen. I'll let Brother Reggie carry.
Thank you, Brother Billy. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to just say the same things as Brother Isaiah, Brother Vincent, and Brother Billy. Just to hear these things again, in a slightly added portions from the ministry. May the Lord impress us, and may the issue of the hearing of these things be that we open to the Lord in a fresh way and allow Him to work this into us, to make us this kind of people. So in the previous lesson, in lesson 55, we received the fellowship of the need for us to contact people. And now in this lesson, the focus, the emphasis is on the purpose of the elders' contact with people. And the purpose is that we would gain people for God, for the Lord. And the Lord Jesus himself set a most excellent pattern for us. As God incarnate, Brother Minoru mentioned the problem that it seemed that almost only thing that he did was to contact people, oftentimes one by one. The Lord, Brother Minoru gave his own testimony that when he was a young person, that there was a brother who contacted him, even taking him fishing. The brother's purpose was not for the fishing, but through his contact with him, Brother Minoru was gained. He said that even that kind of work has an eternal value and is effective. Though he reminded us that we should not just make announcements, take care of the bank account, but that our personal contact with the saints is what builds the church. So, I was encouraged in chapter two, the outline and the excerpts for this lesson came from lessons of came from the Elders Training Book 11, chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, and one of those chapters there was a word that was given that was encouraging to me. I hope it would encourage you as we get into so many points that point out that we still have a need much more of the experience of Christ and the constitution with Christ. This was encouraging. He said that the spiritual divine life within us has an unlimited capacity. If we will exercise, we will learn our spiritual trade, and we will have the ability to carry out the eldership. But however, without exercise, we'll not be able to learn. He used the illustration of a young lady that she may not have been taught how to cook or to raise children, but after being married for a while, she can learn to cook and eventually learn how to raise a family. She picks up these skills by practicing. In the same way, learning to be a proper elder is a matter of exercise and practice. The elders in a local church may feel that they are not adequate to be proper elders. However, if they are faithful for a period of time, they will learn much. When we exercise, our capacity is manifested and developed, and then we will know how to be elders. He used another illustration of education, that to be educated is to be developed. We have the capacity to do many things. However, we need education and practice to develop our capacity. He said that even making mistakes is an education for the elders. The more mistakes the elders make, the more they will learn. Okay, so he said we need to be adjusted in the matter of contacting people in a successful way. Oh Lord, he said that we must answer to the Lord regarding how many persons have been brought to the Lord through us since we became elders or responsible ones, and whether their way to contact people is more effective today than it was 5 years ago. We should be concerned about whether or not that we have contacted people in an adequate way. It is a failure for an elder not to contact people for several days. All the people in the church need the care of the elders, and the elders can only render care by contacting them. Okay. So the to contact people in a proper way is not easy. If we see what the purpose of contacting people is, we will realize that we are short in our contact with others. This is because we are not raised and educated to contact people in this way. To contact people in this way is not in our thought, our habit, or consideration. This point that Brother Billy touched, and I think the other brothers also, that when we come to this matter of contacting people in a proper way, we need to be transformed. We must be transformed. Our entire being must be transformed. To be transformed does not merely mean merely to have a change. To be transformed is to be reconstituted. An elder may be a very good gentleman according to his natural being. However, what we are in our natural in a natural way means nothing. It is not useful, and we must not use it to build up the church. In regard to the building up of the body of Christ, we should have no trust in what we are naturally. Rather, we must be transformed, reconstituted. We need to be remade, created anew. Even this elders training should not be merely a training. It should be a reconstituting. So we should not contact people according to our old way. Even our experience in the church is not trustworthy, because in our experience, many habitual things have been constituted into our being. The absolute requirement for an elder is that he must be another person. As long as an elder desires to be a good elder, he must be reconstituted. He must present himself to the Lord for the Lord's reconstituting work. We all need to be reminded of this. All the points in this and the previous chapter should remind us of how we must be reconstituted to contact people in a proper way. Amen. Then he comes to this matter. I'm going through some of the points, just highlighting some of the points that Billy touched already in the outline. To be a good elder, the first thing we must learn is not to rebuke people. And he put this, for this point, he used the reference of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. So the provoking is caused by the rebuking. And so to prevent the provoking, we must, Brother Lee learned that rebuking does not work well. So here's another reminder. We must avoid any negative spirit, attitude, and tone towards others. Even our listening to people without responding to them properly may offend them. Brother Minoru said, he said, what should I do? You know, when you hear these requirements, or you hear this, the need of the proper contact with people, we may ask, what should I do? He says, the only thing I can say is you learn. He says, every time I contact someone, after that, he says, I need to go to the Lord to walk through that experience. Where did I go wrong? How could I have do better? He said, if you don't have a heart, he said, we must pray for such a heart to care for people and a heart to learn. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord. I just reading this point, just the reading over these points, oh, Lord, we must be happy persons with a joyful spirit, always humble, mild, and easy to contact. Okay. This point was one that touched me, and it seemed like it came up with the brothers in the lesson 55 and in the outline in lesson 56, and the brothers have touched it. I just repeating for more opportunity for the Lord to remind us and to touch us. We must realize that what people need is the Lord. And we must be happy with them and to try to give them an injection of Christ, to dispense Christ into them. This brother Minoru said, so we want to give them an injection of Christ, and our care for them is we need to make them happy so they'll be willing to roll up their sleeves so they can receive the injection. Okay. Lord. Brother Lee said regarding this matter about rebuking, he said, through many mistakes, we learned that rebuking never works. He said that in his experience, they discovered that there are two extremes among the elders. The first extreme is the elders that who are apparently so good, they never seem to see or hear anything negative related to the saints. They prefer to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, to every situation. He said these elders are sloppy, defeated, and unprofitable. Lord Jesus. Then the other extreme is those elders who are very responsible and keen and sharp. And these elders take Paul's word concerning the overseers, and they say they must oversee how the saints are going on. It's very easy for such elders to condemn others. So the elders should not condemn the persons whom they contact. On the one hand, we should not be sloppy, but and we should be keen, but not in a way that leads to condemning others. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen. An elder who can do many things in the church without being at one extreme or the other is a successful elder. An elder needs to be one who does things without being anything. Such an elder does not rebuke or condemn. He's neither sloppy, loose, nor sharp, keen, and frank in a condemning way. And Brother Lee mentioned how in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul did strongly rebuke the believers in Corinth. But he said that in doing this, he had anguish, affliction, and anguish of heart. That's in 2 Corinthians 2:4. And moreover, he didn't have any relief in his spirit until he heard the good news that came through Titus, telling him of the Corinthians' positive response. Then the great burden in his heart was relieved. This indicates that there was a danger in Paul's rebuke to the believer. The Lord Jesus at times strongly rebuked certain people. He said, however, we are not the Lord Jesus. The Lord surely knew how much to rebuke people and when to do it. But we, however, often have rebuked people foolishly, and nothing exposes our foolishness as much as our rebuking. The more we rebuke people, the more foolish we are. We are one with Christ, but only to a partial degree. We are still too much in the old man in our natural life. And unconsciously, unintentionally, we often do the wrong things together with the right things. Therefore, it's always safer not to rebuke. The problems in the church are often related to the elders. And most of the problems related to the elders arise from the elders' negative spirit, attitude, and tone toward others. It is very difficult not to have a negative spirit. And our spirit, our attitude, and our tone and gesture may all offend people. Oh, Lord. Oh Lord Jesus. No one on earth is perfect. Everyone needs the Lord. I really just this little phrase in the portions in the excerpts in the outline in the chapters. This little phrase really touched me. Everyone needs the Lord. When someone when we're contacting someone, this I would like to be reminded of this realization. What people really need is the Lord. Therefore, regardless of what someone says, the elders should not be bothered by that person. They must realize that this person needs the Lord, and they must be happy with him and try to give him an injection of Christ. This is to dispense Christ. Okay. When we contact others, particularly with ones who have some shortcomings, if we get to know some other shortcomings, he must not criticize, despise, or judge them. The elder all himself also has shortcomings. In this sense, he's the same as others. It's simply a matter of degree. The elder should realize they have their own mistakes. They have to turn their eyes upon themselves and consider themselves. They are not qualified to condemn or to judge. However, by their appointment, the elders have been put into a position in which it's easy to criticize, despise, and judge or condemn. If we know that someone has done something, so when we get to know someone's, if we happen to know someone's background, we should not go to others to talk about him. We should not even talk to him about what he has done. But we need to take the opportunity to minister life and light to him. I guess if anything within me was highlighted in getting into these messages, I think this was one of the things that was highlighted. This kind of realization that what people need is the Lord. And so what the purpose of our contact is to help bring them to the Lord and to help minister Christ to them. As Billy said, that's maybe not so easy to do, but at least to have this kind of realization was quite touching to me. What a temptation. When we are realized that someone is brought into our, maybe a particular situation is brought to our attention, it's asking for our response, we're being asked to deal with it. What a temptation to be in this realm, the realm of right and wrong, of correcting the wrong and bringing people to the right. What a temptation. But what a calibration before we start to touch things in this realm is to realize what people need not primarily is not primarily to be corrected, is not primarily to be adjusted. What they need primarily is they need the Lord. We need the Lord. What a wonderful realization. Okay, so if we realize what they need is the Lord, maybe we won't be so quick to criticize them, condemn them, to judge them, to correct them, to try to make them right or show them that they're wrong. Oh Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Okay. And even it's seemingly you the reason the situation has been brought to you is because someone is wrong, they're improper, and they need adjusting. Go do it. That's your job. Oh Lord Jesus. Now it's not that we neglect the responsibility to take care of matters, but at the spirit and the attitude with which we approach them, what an adjustment. Okay. Oh Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh. He says, if we do not know someone's sins and failures, they may be helped by us when we touch them. This we were fellowshipping about a particular brother, and some brothers moved to the locality that didn't know anything about him. They didn't know his history, they didn't know his mistakes, they didn't know his failures. So they just wanted to enjoy Christ with him. They just wanted to minister Christ to him. And he could be helped. Someone can be helped if we have this kind of, attitude and realization. I know myself, and this was mentioned, sometimes, maybe it's necessary. We need to fellowship about a particular situation. But, whoa, when you hear something negative about a person, it's easy for our attitude toward them, our feeling toward them, to be affected by that. So how we need the Lord's mercy even in what we hear. So we need to be regulated by the Lord in how much of we hear and what we hear, so that our spirit and attitude do not become, improper toward others, so that we can still render care and help to them. Brotherly says this, he says it. He says, however, once we know of someone's failure, that this knowledge changes our contact with that person. I know I have the experience where, I may have had a positive attitude toward someone, and then I get a negative report toward them, and then it's like something got into me that affects my attitude toward them and my feeling toward them. So, and how much I need to be cleansed and washed and the Lord to purify me and my inner being toward them again. Okay. He says it's difficult to know the defeated background of a brother without being changed in our attitude to him. He said, we must contact such a brother as if we knew nothing about him. Wow. Isn't that good, brothers? Because it's in that situation with that kind of attitude, you just want to minister Christ. You just want to minister life. Okay. This is the way to contact people. So he says that will be in a way full of life and full of Christ. By 1 hour of this kind of contact, he will receive something that will enlighten him. Then he may go home to repent to the Lord. This is in Matthew 5:14, it says, we are the light of the world. And in Ephesians 5:8, we are children of light. If we are in the fellowship of the Lord, like one of the brothers mentioned, abiding in Christ, in the fellowship with the Lord, we are light. And in our contact with others, if they touch light and if they touch Christ, then they can have a then the Lord can come in to enlighten them, to give them a repentance in some matter, even though we may not have particularly tried to touch that particular matter. Whenever we contact people, we should be a light shining over them. Oh Lord Jesus, this is something that I aspire to, not something that I testify of having reality in. But we were reading, my wife and I were reading in a biography of Sister regarding Sister Emmy Barber, and Brother Nee gave a testimony of his experience of coming to her, and he had certain number several number points that he wanted to present to her as proposals of things that he should do. But when he got into her presence, light was shining. And he just all those proposals, all those thoughts, all those things he wanted to present to her, they just all, just disappeared because he got into the light when he got into her presence. So, oh Lord, may we become persons like that whose very presence ministers life and light to people. Oh Lord Jesus. Okay. He said, people must come to us to be under our enlightening, not our condemning or rebuking. It's interesting, when our if our intention or if our manner is a condemning and a critical, it's almost like it has the reverse effect of what we wanted to do. And on the other hand, sometimes we have no intention of adjusting anyone, correcting anyone. We just are in the fellowship with the Lord. We're in the enjoyment of the Lord, just ministering Christ. That life, that enjoyment of Christ opens people to contact the Lord, and by being brought to the Lord, He does something within them. Oh, may this be more, and may this be more and more our experience and the realm in which we function and serve. Okay. Oh, the time is up. I'm looking at the time. Amen, brothers. I just was just conclude just with this thought, with just this point of emphasis. May the Lord enlighten us to realize that in order to us to carry out the purpose of our contacting the saints, which is to gain them for the kingdom of God, the way to do this is by ministering Christ to them. And may the Lord reconstitute us and transform us more and more. And may we have many transactions and dealings with the Lord in our contact with others, so that more and more our contact with others will minister life and light to them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Yes, may the Lord really gain us, make us the person of life and light. And when people come to us, we're not rebuking them. Instead, we'll minister Christ to them, bring them back to the Lord, and not just trying to fix them, fix the problem, or bring them back to the from wrong to right. Oh Lord, may He gain us to make us a man of life. Now we have roughly 10 minutes or so for prophesying. It's a very encouraging message. I hope that many of you brothers can take the opportunity to prophesy and share what you enjoy from this message. How about keep our speaking to 1 minute or so, then we can have 10 brothers and prophesy. Maybe you can raise your hand, yeah, so that we can spotlight your video. Okay. Is that church in Belize? You can go ahead and unmute yourself. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Brothers, I just really just enjoyed this speaking, and I just was really appreciating how when we see the purpose of our contacting people and how we should contact people, we just realize that we are so short and that we really are the wrong kind of persons to do this. And I just appreciating how this just causes us to realize, Lord, how I need to be transformed. All of these points I felt, especially under the how, was just again showing I'm not this person. I don't have the tone that's not having some hint of negativity. I don't have this concern, or I don't have this approachableness. And at best, maybe I can fabricate it or do something in a way that is me just trying. But I just appreciated that this causes us to go to the Lord to be reconstituted. And this allows the Lord to build himself into us and fill us with himself. Earlier in this training, Brother Menorah mentioned about our transformation is not just like a light remodeling. Like we think we're okay here and okay there, and we just need to fix it up, but it's a full tear down. We need to fully be down to nothing and allow the Lord to build us up. And I just appreciate when we have this reconstituting, then we have the right person in us. This is just the Lord, and this is the one who is able to take every opportunity to speak life, to speak this type of encouragement, and to gain ones by visiting him again and again for this purpose. Lord, work this out in all of the churches. Amen.
Amen. How about Budapest?
Amen. Yes, brother. I really appreciated seeing in this message that as it was talking about the purpose of our contacting others, that I saw the full God-ordained way listed there. That the purpose, is not as the brother said, just to preach the gospel and get them saved, right? And then let's go on to the next one. Yeah, I enjoyed that because I was really touched recently by something that Brother Ed Marks said. He was speaking about the parable of the sower, right? And in the parable of the sower, when he comes to the one that was sown in the thorns and and all the weeds, it says that there are three accounts of this, and in two of those accounts, it says that it renders the word unfruitful, right? But in the Gospel of Luke, there's something different there. Let's see if I can find it real quick here. Yeah, it says that which fell into the thorns, these are those who heard and going away are utterly choked by anxieties and riches and pleasures of this life and do not bring any fruit to maturity. And I just was really touched by that, that it's not just a matter of getting getting some plants started, right? But it's a matter of bringing ones to maturity. One thing I learned in corporate America was that if you really want something to change in the way that the operation is going, you need to focus on that. You need to measure according to that, right? So I enjoyed the brother saying that we're not measured by our capability, we're measured by how many useful ones we produce, right? It's a matter of bringing ones to maturity where they become useful, is the real measure. So we just want to allow the Lord to work to bring about this incredible balance. In almost every direction that we have talked about, you can see that there's such a balance. You know, you don't want to be too much this way or too much that way, right? We have to be just right according to God. This should be our shepherding, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Back to Church and Benin.
Amen. The purpose of the elders' contact with people is to gain them and to bring them on to maturity, to present every man full grown in Christ. Amen. And in our process of contacting people and gaining them for the Lord, you know, I realize so much of the time I am put to the test when it comes to, let's say, my burden, my heart for this one, and then they're offended by somebody in the church. And this to me is the biggest test. Where am I at? Am I going to feed the knowledge of good and evil? Am I going to, yeah, that's not good, the way you were treated, evil, you know? Oh, and then my attitude towards maybe that saint changes inwardly. This to me is where rubber meets the road, because how am I going to bring that person Christ? How am I going to not have a changed attitude toward that saint in the church? Oh, Lord, we need transformation. We need purity. We need to be built up in Christ. This matter of meekness, I don't know, you who are spiritual, you know, oh, Lord, how spiritual am I? Restore somebody in a spirit of meekness. And, you know, I've just realized you can, in these kinds of situations, way too easily feed people the tree of knowledge of good and evil, not bring people to life, not bring people to Christ. And so how do we do this? Because ultimately we want to gain people, you know, for the church, the building up, right? That they would be perfected to be normal functioning members. And I don't know, there's so much here, but when we're around those in the church, the dear saints, we're so easily get offended or build up knowledge about this brother, this sister. Oh, they always do this. Oh, that's their shortage. That's their failure. And it causes the church to be fruitless. And so we just need to be dealt with in our inward attitude and feeling towards the saints. And in this way, we can bring people in, you know, we can actually gain them, not apart from the church or for anything else, but gain them for the church, for the building up. Yeah. Amen.
We still have time for one or two brothers. Anyone else? Leipzig?
Amen. I really appreciate brothers' help to guide us into the speaking of this ministry. And when we see the outlines, we see only Romeo 1 with 4 points from God's ordained way. It's about the purpose of contacting people. And but when you see Romans 2, in the beginning I was shocked. We shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that. We're in the realm of tree of knowledge or in the realm of tree of life. And then, but yeah, I feel with the shepherding of brothers and with their own testimony, also brotherly testimony, I realized that we should not be limited, or we should not be discouraged. On the contrary, we should be very encouraged. When we are shepherding people, when we are contacting people, we'll realize our shortage because we'll be reminded by all these points. And then gradually, we'll be migrated from the realm of tree of knowledge into the tree of life. We will realize with our natural capability, our natural utterance, it will not help people. And then until we really minister Christ to others. So I really encourage and then very, that's by the speaking brothers and also the brothers surrounding by me and us, that we can exercise this together and then in appearance in this transformation process together. Amen.
Amen.
I was touched by this point E. It said we should contact people not to convince, catch, or arrest them, but to recover and bring them back to the Lord. This week I was supposed to meet a former classmate from high school, and I contacted him earlier the week, and I invited him for an appointment. And then he wrote me, and he said yes, but he ended his response to me the following way. He said, "I'm coming, but please stop to try to convince me about your faith." And I was so exposed. And I mean, this is, yeah. Anyway, this is how we learn. But this is the snare. It says the best way to get others out of the snare of the realm of good and evil is not to touch good and evil. And I like to convince people about faith. I like to, but that's what we do when you convince people that they are wrong. Well, of course they're wrong, but that's not going to help them to convince them that they are wrong. The only thing that helps them is that we can minister Christ. We can bring them to Christ. Not touching anything that that they might be wrong of. And of course they're wrong. We all are wrong. But what helps is to minister Christ. So the Lord is really, anyway, exposing. But praise the Lord, I also enjoy. We can learn. We should go. We should walk through every experience we have with the Lord in contacting people so that we can learn, we can be enlightened, we can be exposed. And yes, we can learn. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. We will give a few announcements. So in January, we will take a break. So there will be no training session in January. Please use this break to prayerfully enter into the burden and excerpts of lesson 55 and 56. Our next session, the next training session, is scheduled for February 7. February 7 is the next session. And then new registration. This is a third announcement. The training is open for new registrants. If any brothers in your locality wish to register, please guide them to darkbrothers.de, darkbrothers.de website, and fellowship with them regarding the training burdens. And then we want to also remind you about the events, dark events, the first half of the 2026. If you want, you can mark it down on your calendar. March 6 to 8 is a sister's fellowship. March 6 to 8, sister fellowship. In April 10 to 12, we have the Young People Conference. Yeah. April 10 to 12, Young People's Conference. And April 30th to May 3rd, have the Serving Ones Fellowship. April 30th to May 3rd, have Serving Ones Retreat. Serving Ones Retreat, sorry. And then our Friends Conference, May 23rd to 25th. So a day is set for the Friends Conference, May 23rd to 25th. And as you know, the accommodation there is quite tight. So it would be good to encourage the saints to go ahead and reserve the accommodation. So that's all the announcement that I have. Anything else, brothers? If not, then we can stop here. Amen. Praise the Lord. See you next year.
Amen.